Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ina Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And who are you, guest?
DJ Nikki B. Nick.
Yeah, baby!
Wicka 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 woo!
What was that noise?
What was that noise?
Nikki, I wish you could see, listener, the look on Nikki's face, whereas Helen, my God, was that your DJ noise?
Yeah.
You're
like,
I'll tell you where else they did that to me and I was not impressed. Loose Women. They went, oh, you were so cool with your wiki wiki and did a headphone action.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh.
We're the same age, by the way. Like, what is this?
So were you on Loose Women?
Or I didn't know you were on Loose Women.
Several times DJing for artists, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time, I can't remember, maybe Nicola Roberts or one of those. Or All Saints.
One of the Girls Aloud.
One of them.
Well, I think we're off to a flying start.
Absolutely. Now, we are very excited because Nikki, I mean, this doesn't happen very often, listener, is a return guest.
Yes.
So we loved her so much. And she lives around the corner.
Those are two facts that are independent of each other and unrelated. So we had you on a while back, Nikki, for a couple of years ago. You were saying you can tell how long you've been on, like when you cut open a tree, how old it is, because your fringe has got longer.
Yeah. It's now about, what's that, a good 12 inches, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know these days because I get told these measurements and they're wildly out of proportion.
They always lie. My fringe was short and now it's really long, and that's how long I haven't been on the show for.
Wow, there we go. So what has happened? It's been a couple of years. What's been going on, Nikki?
Oh,
I mean, quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, touring around the world as usual with artists.
Ovs.
Standard.
As we all do.
Yeah. Catching corona a couple of times, you know.
Yeah. Let's start with the corona, shall we?
That was quite relevant.
Because you DJed a lot of cool parties and started a couple of new companies and,
just being an entrepreneur. I'm not going to say mumpreneur because I think you'll smack me in the face. So being an entrepreneur,
I quite like that.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
You don't mind that word?
No.
Okay.
Because I love being a mum and I like being a preneur.
I mean, you make a good case for it when you put it like that.
French when she says it, preneur.
Just to remind you, Helen, that's no DJ noises, but you can call her a mumpreneur.
Okay.
So you know.
I am learning a lot today. Steep learning curve.
Are you going to beatbox for us at any point, Helen? Can you beatbox?
I could try.
Let's have a little listen.
I definitely can't. So
yes, you can.
No.
Come on.
No, I know my limits.
Oh, really?
No rapping, no beatboxing.
No.
Booch. Strong silent type. Stand behind the decks.
Just eye roll.
Wear an outfit. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a line. Go on, Helen. You look like you want to beatbox.
All right. Well, do you want me to do words with it?
That's not beatboxing.
That's not beatboxing. Oh, that's rapping. I don't know that this medium is for you.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'll think, if something comes to me, I might just interrupt you with my
Excellent.
Beats.
All right, fair enough. So the corona thing, because you first contracted corona, weren't you in Italy when it all kicked off?
Yes, the first time in January, and I think I probably caught it then. The doctor thinks I've definitely had it twice, probably two different strains, viral loading. But yeah, back in January, I was really ill and had all the symptoms and terrible cough and then horrendous headaches and couldn't get out of bed for a few days, and also the sense of taste and smell, which hasn't really come back properly till now.
Shit.
No.
I mean, yeah, usually my sense of smell is intense and my taste buds definitely still aren't 100% right. They keep, some days it'll be like very odd, I can't taste things. But yeah, so Italy, and there was people on my flight coming back because I went to do some work with Diodora over there. And I got back to
for the listeners and not just me. Who's Deodora?
Oh,
it's a sports brand. It's not a brand.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about a DJ or an artist. Yeah.
It's a very, like, issues
in the '90s. Very, very.
Yeah, I was with Deodora and Johnny Nike and Bob Adidas. Do you know Bob Adidas? He's a big, brand.
I beatbox with Bob Adidas.
So you're doing some work with Ian Deodora.
I flew in and flew out the same day, like you do. And then I went back to the airport in Milan, and there was people flying from Wuhan. I heard the thing over that, like, the flights were coming in from China, people trying to get back to other places, but using Milan as a fly through. And then there was loads of people, bare people on my flight with masks. And at that point in January, no one was really wearing masks. And I was texting Kevin, freaking out. And there's people on my plane in masks. And then I just got really, really ill. And to be honest, I didn't really get better. I think I was all right for Mums at Rave. I'd sort of got over it in February when we did the Valentine's one, but it had taken me all that time. So about 5 or 6 weeks to kind of, you know, feel okay. And then I went on tour with Khalees in Europe, and we went to every major Corona city as they were closing down. So we'd go to, like, the venue, and then they'd say, oh, we've got to cap it at 1,000 people tonight because of new guidelines or whatever with Corona. And then the next day they'd be like, the city's shutting down, and we'd have
just to
like,
be clear, the day
out.
After you arrived, they would shut the city down.
I am the super spreader.
It's like dominoes. Boof, 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 boof.
Never mind that. Never mind that Chinese bat. DJ Nikki Beatnik is truly responsible for the global epidemic.
But so yeah, I was dealing with, like, I was trying to stay well and, like, still didn't feel that good, but I was obviously in a different venue every day, touching equipment that's not yours, set up by random different people in a venue of 1,000 people.
Dirty things,
In and out of tour buses with, say, like, 10 or 12 other people on the tour bus, and they've all been in contact with. So it was, like, literally a countdown when you're going to get it. And then we couldn't get into Italy, so they said, I know, we'll go to Austria and we'll isolate there. And then come to find out afterwards, Austria was like the hub of all coronavirus.
And it was all, well, after you got there,
obviously. In the ski resorts, like, everyone was just passing it back and forward. So we found out, like, it was great. We shouldn't have really been there, but we couldn't get out. Like, we were on tour buses. They'd been hired for the duration of the tour. And then as the tour was happening, everything's getting closed down. And at one point they were like, Khalees and I were due to fly to Barcelona to do an extra gig there and then fly back and do a gig in Manchester. And then, so we were doing, like, night gigs in between the day gigs, and then the band would meet us and then we'd get back on the tour buses. And the Barcelona one, Khalees was like, we shouldn't go to Barcelona.
And she was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, she was, and no one knew. So I knew and our tour manager knew, and then the band kind of cottoned on, and then she had to sort of say, but it was all secret. She was going on stage like 3 months, 4 months pregnant, and no one knew she was pregnant yet.
Yeah.
So we were really worried about her. She had her own tour bus and she just kept it, like, really sealed so no one else could get on there, thank God. But so we were due to go to Barcelona, and she was like, I don't think we can fly to Barcelona. Like, they want us to go and they're pressuring us to go, but we shouldn't be going. And this was the weekend before everything locked down.
Right, yeah.
And the flight that we were due to get onto Barcelona got turned back halfway in the air.
Oh, God, no. Fuck. That's, like, my worst nightmare.
She texted me. She went, that flight you were meant to get on, that was turned back, like, by air control or traffic air control or whatever.
Because they heard you might be on it. They were like, yeah, we don't mind, like, you fucking Corona.
Super spreaders coming. So we ran to Germany in the end and managed to get a flight out. And then about a week after that, I got sick again. And this time it was way worse, like horrendous. Couldn't breathe, couldn't speak. Like, I would literally be like that. And then I would have to gasp for breath. I couldn't walk from one room to another.
Oh, God.
And then my husband got it, but he was at the National Theatre, also another super spreader. And there was about 4,000 people in and out of there every day. And they didn't close that until the last minute. So basically we were the Corona house.
Yeah.
We were, like, from all directions. The doctors were like, you just were basically viral loading the whole time and had no chance because you were just exposed over and over and over again.
Oh,
so,
God. So how are you now then? So you're saying you've still got the lack of taste thing?
Yeah, I've got long COVID now, as they call it. So, it's been hard. Like, I've built myself up to being able to go for walks again, but I couldn't even walk to the bottom of the road and back. It was just exhaustion levels, like, beyond. And really bad headaches, sensitivity to light. There's loads of weird things. And also my memory, normally my memory is freaking amazing. Like, Khaleesi is like, this one knows what the show we did in 2012 in Russia. And I'll be like, yeah, this is the show. And I'll remember every single fact from everything. Like, you know, I've got a good memory. And with Corona, literally, I could not remember the name of Kevin's mom's road. So I was in East London. I took a wrong turn. And my map, like, my sense of direction is excellent. And I just couldn't remember the name of her road. And I was like, I know how to, it's up there, but I can't remember. Things like that will happen. Wow. Where you'll just be like, what's that person's name again? And you just cannot remember. So this definitely affects, they don't really know. That's what the doctors have told me. They've got, I think even in Lewisham, they've got a long COVID clinic where they're studying people. I'm not a guinea pig. But yeah, so there's all these weird things that happen.
I think it's interesting because I'm Australian, and having seen in July there were 15,000 cases in the UK and 15,000 cases in Melbourne, and Melbourne has been locked down for 4 months, and they've just been released, and there are no cases of corona.
Wow.
And they didn't want to release people back in until there were zero new cases, and they were really hardcore, and
that's
people were pissed off with the government, but they've saved
tens of thousands of lives. That's what's so important. And we did lose Kevin's uncle. And it was right around the time that we were at our illest. And there's definitely a mental battle as well, because it affects, like, the way you feel and your... Corona just gets all your organs, like, one after the other. And some of my DJ friends, like, one DJ I know passed away, didn't make it. Another one I know has got liver damage. Another one had blood clots. Like, loads of DJs have been affected.
Mm.
So our community... But then you've got a lot of other DJs that believe that... There's a big conspiracy theory going on.
Right.
And that we should open all the clubs up, you know.
But not let Khaleesi and Nikki in.
Yeah, not let two. Well, that was already in place, to be fair, way before Corona. So it's been a weird time. Mm. It's been really strange, but it's just like one day at a time. And to be honest, because we did lose someone in our family, I just feel really blessed that we're okay.
Mm.
Even though I've got these after effects, I still am better off than loads of people.
Yeah.
So that's the way you've got to look at it, you know. Yeah.
But what about the industry now then? What about your job? Because your job is, you know, like us, being in public spaces with the public. That is, feels like the nature of the DJing. Yeah. So, like, how is it for the nightclub industry now? Nightclub, do people still say nightclub? Is 2020? Yeah, is that allowed? discotheque. What's going on at the discotheque?
Blue light disco.
Disc jockey, Nikki.
Well, currently playing a little bit of ABBA.
Have a bit of ABBA.
Yeah, I do too, actually. What's going on? Well, I've seen on some DJ WhatsApp groups and chats that there are DJs out there working, doing private parties. And I went to West End not that long ago at night, and there was all the members clubs, like the Annabelle's and the Posh Joints. They were all open.
Yeah.
So I think there's a two-tier situation going on, whereas if you're rich and posh, you're probably all right, and you're out having secret parties in hotels and stuff.
But also you can probably afford a private Corona test every 3 days as well. So it is...
Yeah, and also they probably, like, in charge of companies, so they don't actually have to turn up that much for work, you know?
Yeah.
They just make the minions do the work.
Mm.
So I reckon there's always been these private lockdown parties happening. There's been a lot of hotel parties, I think.
Mm.
And there was a rave in Sydenham not that long ago. Did you know about that?
I mean,
that?
Sydenham itself is one long rave, if you ask me. There's always a rave in Sydenham. Go down Lidl, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night.
There was one in Bristol on the weekend that went for like 9 hours.
That doesn't surprise. Bristol's always been crazy rave central.
Yeah, yeah. And there's 1,000 people there, apparently. And
I'm so annoyed I've not been invited to any of these. Not that I go, but I was like, Sydenham, and they've got me sitting right here, and I didn't even get a set.
Nobbers. Absolute nobbers.
But obviously it's really affected all the DJs I know. Like, we've gone from, I mean, I had about 70 gigs with Khaleesi this summer. We were meant to do a whole tour of Australia, which was going to be epic. That was a month, and then go to Bali and the Cook Islands.
Oh my god,
I wanted to go to the Cook Islands badly.
Yeah,
I've never been there, and it sounded very interesting.
Big rave scene in the Cook Islands.
I've heard.
Yeah,
on boats.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, not nice. Annoying. Just made that up. But yeah, so it's completely shut our industry down. And I know a lot of people have been getting grants. Like, there's been a lot of talk of certain clubs and businesses like Boiler Room and Resident Advisor, and they've been given a lot of money. But whether it's filtering down to the smaller people and individuals, not really. Ministry of Sound got a wedge. They've, you know, there's been grants given out, but does it really help the kind of innovators of the scene? Rather than, I'm not sure. Like, there's been a lot of hoo-ha over that because a lot of people have been annoyed about who's been given grants and who hasn't. But I guess it's like, again, who you know and who you've got and what infrastructure you've got. People are really good at doing that side of things and applying for grants and being very business focused, then they'll do well, you know. But yeah, it's totally decimated. Loads of venues have closed down. I think about between 50 and 70% of venues had closed between 2010 and 2020 in the UK. So we were already losing the fight as far as clubs, gentrification, people buying old clubs, like being shut down for like new flats and apartments, and then they get noise. Like Shoreditch used to be, that's a typical example, and Peckham. They used to be places that people didn't really want to go. Then the clubs moved in, then they started popping off. And then everyone wants to live there all of a sudden, but then they complain about the clubs. So then a couple of noise complaints, you're done. Like, that's it. You can get closed down really easily. So we already had that massive thing of clubs were closing. And now we've had Ace Hotel close, hospital clubs close, all these sort of institutions in London that you would think they could probably weather the storm, and they're not. There's been so many more closed. So I don't think it's going to come back from this in the same way ever.
Like, really?
It's just not.
That bleak. Shit. What are you going to do?
I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I always figure out, and I've always been able to figure out a way through and kind of be ahead of the game a little bit. Like when I was doing clubs, and then I did loads of parties for celebrities, and then hip hop artists, and then footballers and all that. And then everyone jumped on that. And I was in Ibiza, Marbella, like 2003-04, way before it was like, you know, towered up, but it wasn't like on TV. So I think as long as you stay ahead and you've got that entrepreneurial spirit, you'll be okay. I've got a few little things in the pipeline, but I've been writing music the whole time. So that's been my love for like quite a lot of years. Me and my brother remix and produce records. And now I just see it as a time where I've got to focus on that songwriting and putting out records, and then maybe songwriting for other people. So yeah, and it's something I can do at home while I've got my kid, you know, school hours and all that. And my husband's, thank goodness, he's working. So yeah, he's away filming, thank goodness. And film sets seem to be a lot more organized. So
yeah.
But yeah, the club industry's never going to be the same after this, I don't think. And I don't want to sound negative, I'm just being realistic.
I think you're right, though, because
huge festivals and stuff. Yeah, like
as in comedy, like the Edinburgh Festival, I can't even imagine that going ahead next year because you were just squeezed in. Yeah. You were squeezed in like sardines and hot and sweaty.
Frottaging.
Yes, exactly. You were always touching somebody in Edinburgh.
I hate that.
It just feels impossible. Now, I was going to say, because in the last couple of years, you've created this amazing thing called Mums That Rave. Can we talk about this? Because we did a Zoom rave with you, an online rave.
Yeah, that
So you've
was
done
fun.
A few things like that. But can we go back a couple of years, and what is Mums That Rave, Nikki?
Mums That Rave is a rave for mums.
Yeah.
The clue's in the name.
Yeah, it's not called Mums That Beatbox, thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Maybe if we did, though.
Let's be number one guest. Yeah, I know. We can Zoom it.
But it's more than just a rave for mums. It's an online platform as well. So this year has been a lot more about that, obviously, because we can't do live events. It's a community, really, and it's a statement that you don't have to be a certain way if you're a mum. You don't have to be a stereotype. I always say everyone's welcome at Mums at Rave. I don't want clicks, and I don't want it to be like the usual kind of, I don't know, mum scene kind of thing. It's like if you're an oddball, if you're like a stay-at-home mum, if you're a rock star, whatever, I don't care. Like if you're a mum, you can be part of this group. That's it.
Maybe if you're not like a terrorist or a serial killer or like...
Well, you know, we're very accepting. No judgment here over at Mums at Rave. But yeah, so the online thing, like I just wanted it to be really positive on Instagram and Facebook. So even if I'm feeling a little bit peed off with life and my usual sarcastic self. Mums at Rave will never really echo that. I pull myself together and I'll post something really fun, and there's a lot of dancing stuff on there and a lot of like throwback tunes. So, you know, like one day I might feel like posting like a Pump Up the Jam moment or something like that. And, you know, it's just to say really that you don't have to give up that fun side of partying and raving when you're a mum.
Yeah.
You can get glammed up. You can look amazing. You can still go out. And a lot of it has been absolutely mind-blowing because people have made so many friends, and that's really important too.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, because that's the other thing is where you don't need to like get, because sometimes it can be really difficult to organise a night out with your friends because everyone's got babysitters and husbands and jobs, and it's really tricky. And I've met, because I've been to quite a lot of your mums at raves, I've met a lot of women there, sort of become friends with them, and they've just come on their own. Yeah. You know, I've gone on my own. Like, you can just turn up on your own, and people are friendly and nice, and the atmosphere, you know, the conversations I've had in those toilets, I mean... Sometimes you go to the toilet and you're there for 40 minutes because you're just having a chat with someone you've just met, and it's a good and laugh.
That's like how the vibe should be. Like anything, any party that I've ever done, going right back to like the late 90s when I was running day raves and club nights and all the way, like I've run parties the whole time that I've been a DJ, and I've got another party called Fash Bash that I still do. It's always been about welcoming people, and you can just rock up on your own, because I've rocked up to clubs all through my career and just gone out raving on my own. Like, I'm like, if I want to go and see that DJ, I'm going to go. Like, you know, so I wanted it to be a safe space for women and mums. And I know dealing with a lot of misogyny in my industry as well, a lot of clubs are not always welcoming a safe space. So I really wanted it to be even more safe, so any woman could turn up, and if I didn't know them, I'd introduce them to someone, and then they'd introduce them to someone else. And that's how it's really snowballed, I guess. So, yeah, I just didn't want it to be just one demographic or one type of woman. I want it to be like across the board. And if you want to like dance around in your hot pants at home to like some banging tunes, yeah, do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just don't beatbox. That's what I'm saying.
Just never,
just
ever
beatbox. Don't rap.
Never, ever. Never. We'll have a mic for you the next Moms at Rave.
Oh, yeah. Like Tino. Me and Tino, absolutely.
Because Tino's our MC, I've got to give him a shout, because he's the nicest dude ever. And
he's the only penis allowed in the room, isn't he? Yeah.
And the photographer.
Oh, yeah, Ben.
Yeah.
He's also amazing. I've known him a lot.
No, love MC Tino. He always gives us a shout out when he sees us on the dance floor. He's
so
wicked.
So, so cool.
He's got a new record out at the moment, so check him out.
Oh, yeah. Is he MC Tino Kesey on...
Yes. Tino Kesey.
Yeah.
Like, just, they're so, everyone's fucking sexy as well, because everyone looks great and they're having a good time. And
I thought it'd be kind of weird having women only, but it's not been weird at all.
No, in fact...
It's actually really fun and empowering. And
And there's a real different energy to it, because you're all sort of willing each other on, and also we're all out of the house at the same time.
Exactly.
This is amazing, there's kind of release. Of yeah, I know.
Especially when you play drum and bass, like people lose their marbles. Moms at Rave. Like, I've never seen people go harder on the dance floor than at Moms at Rave. Had Vogue offs, we've had you guys doing your
the lift.
Many soul trains, it's extreme.
So it's basically just a real fun night out.
I mean,
I've got lots of things planned for how it's going to get around this situation right now, and more online content and stuff like that, but I've just been trying to get better, basically, so just keeping it ticking over, doing the thing on Instagram and Facebook, and while I recover.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And do you miss the tour life? Because here's the thing, when you were talking about tour buses earlier, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, Nikki, I got quite excited because mine and Helen's dream is to have a tour bus.
Oh, it's the best.
To have a big, we want a big gold one, don't
yeah,
we? With
I
our faces,
big,
one on each side.
DJ. You guys could get one with like the bedrooms at the back, so they have a massive double bedroom and your own shower.
For all the napping purposes. I just want a nap. Just a lot of napping.
That sounds pretty sweet.
And then they have like full fridges, have like a little hot plate in there.
Oh, just in case you want to make
a
lasagna.
Amazon,
Amazon
was like just alcohol because it was all dudes.
Yeah.
And me and one singer.
Yeah.
But the tour buses are fun because you can, it's kind of better than getting flights, even though, because it takes so much time doing all the check-in and whatever at airports, but tour buses, you can just jump on after the gig, stay up for a bit, have a few drinks, then go to your bunk and sleep, and you wake up at the next gig, parked outside the next venue.
Oh, so that sounds wicked.
This is very good.
Really fun.
Let's just blow all our savings on a tour bus.
Yeah, even though we can't actually tour.
No, I know. We're just driving.
No one buys them. You just hire. Like when I did Backstreet Boys tour, they did.
Already liking this sentence.
Yeah.
They had a tour bus for each boy, each member.
Each Backstreet Boy.
Yeah. They had one tour bus each.
Oh, my God.
Did they not get on the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, but they're just Americans. They're used to that kind of... We've got money, we'll have a tour bus each. And they were doing meet and greets before the show for, like, 500 to, like, just shake their hands and get a picture with them.
My
gosh. So I was like, they are smart. I'd be using... Because it was with All Saints, basically. So we were, like, the warm-up for... And we were doing stadiums and arenas... And I'd be doing my little sound check, and Kevin and the rest, because I don't know the rest of the Backstreet Boys' names, but I remember his name, because he was like the cute one. So
Kevin was also my favourite, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best one.
Yeah, he's the best
but
one.
But he did wear a very questionable cream suit, which put me off. And they're a lot shorter in real life, which always happens with pop stars.
Yeah, yeah. Who's your favourite pop star that you've ever... Is it Khalees? I think you probably have to say Khalees because she's your best mate, isn't
it? Artist-wise, hands down, Khalees, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She's, like, cool, actually cool, not pretending to be cool. She writes all her own material. She's written every single song that she's ever performed, which most artists don't do. She styles herself. She puts her makeup on herself. She goes on stage like 5 minutes before, never sound checks, never warms up, and performs like an absolute legend every time. And we go shopping constantly. So, yeah, it's the most fun ever.
I remember you talking last time on about Primark. She's a big fan of Primark in Lakeside, Thurrock. Yeah.
No, but we will be in there for a strong 8 hours if I take her to Primark. Like, she can shop like no one else.
Unbelievable.
The woman is a beast. Like, she can shop fully 12, 14-hour stretch. Like, with just, you know, a sip of water, basically. She doesn't drink either. It's really strange.
But, so you've got that. Now, because we now have a song in our show, don't we, Ellie?
Yes. My MILF Shake.
We always have songs.
I know, but this one's a
this
special one.
This one is...
A little nod to
My MILF Shake brings all the dads to the yard.
My MILF Shake makes all the dads really hard.
That's right. I should probably remember the lyrics. You look pained. Do you think Khalees would not enjoy that tribute? It's a tribute.
No, I was just thinking of the dad's bit.
She's not sick.
I've got an image in my head and I can't unsee it now.
Yeah.
But I love the fact it's in the show. I think that song is like, it's just gone, it's like a cultural kind of icon now. It's gone way beyond a song, hasn't it?
She was very young when that song came out.
I'd already known her quite a long time
then.
I think she was like 23 or 24. And we performed it the first time together at the Royal Albert Hall for Fashion Rocks, and I was absolutely steamboats hungover, probably still drunk from the night before. We'd been out partying, and I was like three sheets to the wind trying to do a rehearsal without her. And actually, that's the first time I ever met Kevin, because he was her one of her dancers.
Ah,
this is your husband?
Yeah, my husband now. And I was sound
checking. Not Kevin from Backstreet Boys.
No.
just want to clarify.
That's her, no, that's her first husband.
Okay, right, sorry. Oh, Kevin.
So, yeah, I was doing a sound check, and it was the first time we'd never performed Milkshake. No one had ever heard it before. And they kind of brought in these two sealed copies of Milkshake in from the record company, because it had just been pressed up. And I took it out, and it was the first time I'd heard it. And I put it on sound check, and I was like, this is kind of weird song. What is this? Because it was a lot faster than other R&B records. It didn't sound the same. It was produced by the Neptunes. They always had, like, really out there kind of sounding. Now it sounds very normal to us, but then it wasn't at all. And so I was like sound checking, and I was, the dancers were all there doing their thing, and this guy keeps staring at me. I'm like, this guy's really annoying me. And he's like, oh, are you a DJ then? And I was like, oh god, here we go, misogynistic crap.
No, I'm the cleaner. I just happen to be passing these records, and I thought I'd put them on.
I keep cleaning it this way and then cleaning it that way.
I don't have the energy. I'm still drunk from last night. I drank a lot of Hennessy last night. This is not helping me. Anyway, this annoying guy turned out to be Kevin, who is now my husband. And Khalees came, and she was like, okay, I like what you're doing, guys, to the dancers. But if you could just stay still and not move and just be statues, that'd be great.
She didn't like it that much then.
She did not like it at all, because she didn't do all that, like, you know, like the formation dancing with dancers. And that's very like girl band, Destiny's Child.
It's very Eurovision. Like, it's sort of that sort of,
but like R&B groups have always had that. But she was just like, no, like, that's not me. I've had people playing like rock guitar and whatever. It's me and the DJ, so they can stand still. So yeah, we did the show. We premiered that Milkshake. I remember Matthew Williamson dressed her, and it was a big deal. And Prince Charles were there, and they were like, do you want to go meet Prince Charles? And Khalees were like, not really. And we hung out in the dressing room, and then Grace Jones came in the dressing room. And
oh shit, I'd much rather meet her than Prince Charles.
Was next door in the, and they all love Khalees, so they were like all coming in. And meanwhile, I was so hungover, I was lying on the floor. And they're like, Khalees, like, that's Nikki. And I'm like,
whatevs, Grace Jones.
Hi, Grace Jones.
Can you turn the lights down? I'm really just...
Robbie
just,
Williams was performing. There was just legendary people, legendary. And I did not appreciate it to its full, because we'd been partying for like 3 days straight at this point. And it was a time when I was like fully running about 2 or 3 club nights a week. So it was just a constant state of shopping, drunkenness, and people like Grace Jones turning up.
And you're vomiting into a bin in the corner. Yeah. Amazing scene.
So bad. Like, I was so drunk and hungover. But that's the first time I met my husband. And then when I went on a date with him, like around 2011, he was like, oh, I danced for Khalees once. Well, actually, I didn't really dance for her. She made us stand still. And then obviously she met him, and we told her the story, and she was cracking up. Like, ah, that sounds like me. Hate dancers. Like, yeah, I'm glad I did that kind of thing. No remorse.
So that night you met him, there was no romance. You were just annoyed with him.
Yeah, I was just totally like, this guy is so annoying. Why is he staring at me? And like, obviously now, because I knew, like, now I know he was loved hip-hop music, was obsessed with DJ culture, came up as a dancer, like, came up making records and rapping, and he was signed to a label at one point. So he was, like, obviously in music as well. And he'd seen this girl, like, DJing and scratching and stuff and being like...
Has she got nits?
Yeah. Yeah, and tried to, like... make conversation, and I was just like, get away from me.
But then you saw each other again, presumably at a different
We got introduced by our mutual friend Nicholas Pinnock, who's also an actor. Pinnock, I invited him out to this gig that I was doing. It was like a fashion launch thing, so we went to that, and then he was like, oh, I'm off to see my friend now, he's having a Christmas party, and he was just gonna leave me. And I was like, I've just taken you out to a party, like, for Christmas. You've had so much fun, and now you're just going to diss me and go to the next party. Like, you're rude. I'm coming, obviously. And so if I hadn't been like so forceful in the fact that I want to go to another party after my set, I would never have met Kevin. So we walked into this other party, Christmas party, and then he basically bogled up against my leg and thought it was hilarious.
What does that mean?
Oh, a bogle. Oh, so it's like
a sexy dance.
It's a dance. It's a dance hall move from back
I'll
in the day.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Now you're doing a reverse bogle. So, yeah, basically, a bogle's a dance hall move.
Helen, I think you need to put bogling in the box with beatboxing and rapping or something. Something that's just not for you.
I liked your bogle.
Okay, all right.
It's a strong start.
Kind.
Yeah, so he bogled up against my leg and I turned around and I saw him bogling against me and I was like, what the hell? This
bogle
is
off.
Yeah. Again. But he was just so funny and that's how we met. Mm. So for the second time, and we've been together ever since.
Oh. So talking about, you know, partying and drinking, can we talk about the fact that, because I'll be honest, when I first met you and you told me this, I didn't know if I believed it, you only drink Hennessy. Is that right?
Remy Martin as well, but yeah, cognac of good
just
stature.
Cognac. 100% cognac.
Only cognac.
Well, the only other thing that I would pass maybe at Christmas is a sly Bailey's, almond Bailey's on ice.
Oh, very specific. Ooh, I've never had almond Bailey's.
Neither have I.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I thought, you know, when I first met, I thought, she's cognac. Really cool. And like, sure, like, I'm sure when she's out and she's working, she only has cognac. But I bet like she has a cheeky glass of wine on a Friday, that all the rest of it. And then I came around to your house for a birthday party. It was Harley's birthday party. And you said, oh, I know you and Helen like wine, so I've got some white wine. And you showed me it like on the countertop. And I was like, do you want to put it in the fridge? And you were like, oh, you're supposed to do that with white wine. And I was like,
I don't know, I still don't know.
And then you said, how to, that's right,
to bring
you had to go home. You texted
Ali, did like an emergency message to you and said bring corkscrew.
Yeah, because I was like, can I open it? And you were like, no. You don't have a corkscrew because Kev doesn't drink.
No,
you don't drink wine.
Yeah.
So yeah, to get you to be. And I was
I've DJed many events for Bacardi, for all kinds of alcohol brands like vodka, loads, gin, and literally they will have no cognac. So I'm like, okay, I'd rather just not drink then.
Only, and do you have it just straight or on ice?
I can do either. There was a very dark point of DJ life where I was just drinking it straight.
Ooh, from the bottles?
They would just bring me a bottle and a massive brandy glass and just leave it on the speaker. And those days, there was a lot of bad stuff happened as well as good. But now I like a little bit of Diet Coke with it, you know, a splash of Diet Coke and one ice cube.
One. I love it. Awesome. And before we were getting started and setting up, you said you've never drunk tea.
No, yeah, let's just talk about things Nikki's never drunk or never done.
Yeah. I've never had a cup of tea. Two, I've never had a cup of coffee. Three, I've never had a beer. And I think, and all the rest of the spirits and stuff, like I obviously tried when I was younger, but I pretty much settled on cognac when I was about 17, 18. Because I remember by the time I was going to university, which was like 18, I was already drinking cognac. So yeah, from then.
No WKDs?
Just living my life.
No big bottles of Strongbow?
No, but I did used to, actually, that's not entirely true, because I remember I did deviate. I would warm up with Mad Dog 2020. And then drink cognac.
I don't know what the fuck is Mad Dog 2020?
Oh, you're probably too young, but it was this beverage. It was a huge bottle and it came in the brightest neon colours. So,
we just called it 2020. Bright. I didn't know it was Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah.
I think they stopped it probably because it was so illegal. People would die from drinking it.
Yeah, but you had a 20.
It was like a
you had a 20% chance of survival if you drank 20 bottles. Yeah. That's why it was called 2020. Yeah,
it was really. I didn't drink during lockdown, for instance. Like I've maybe had since touring. Like touring, I would have a Hennessy after the show and stuff with the guys. But I maybe had three drinks since March.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's okay,
I'd rather drink expensive and tiny amounts.
Yeah, we've drank your share.
Yeah, that's all right. We took one for the team.
Is there not a bit of you that thinks, maybe I might like tea? I would like to try a cup of tea before
looks like
I die.
A puddle in a cup.
A puddle
literally
in a cup.
A puddle.
Gosh.
In a cup, and I'm like, why would you drink something that looked like that? And
lovely.
I hate hot drinks.
Oh, same.
Hate hot drinks.
So, what's next for you, Nikki? Because you've got an interiors business now. You're making face masks and all sorts.
I know. I brought mine with me. I love my hip hop homes wears.
Hip-hop homes mask.
It's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, we did start doing masks because obviously of what's happened this year. So And because I haven't been doing any gigs or working, so I've been concentrating on this. But I started it with another mum who's local about 2 years ago. And then I come from a fine art background, and she's an artist, a painter, and she paints murals, and she makes amazing work. And we also have a love of hip hop. So she originally made me some jackets and painted them with my face on, and we got them printed up for tour and stuff. And then we had the idea of making homewares, but influenced by hip hop music primarily.
Mm.
And then obviously some other music as well. So we've got like Icons, but we do cushions with Biggie and Tupac. And then we have the Icons range with Elton and Bowie and Diana Ross. And it's all original artwork. So sometimes it's not just a straight painting of that person. But it's all handmade.
I think Nikki's given me Corona. Yeah, that's it. She's spontaneously got it. I haven't had a cough for ages. What happened? Sorry.
Oh, boy.
No, it's just my lemon tea went down the wrong way. Sorry.
See, tea is never good.
Stop drinking that puddle.
Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, back to your amazing.
Yeah.
We've got a homewares brand now, I guess, and we make cushions and masks and we make prints, and it's all inspired by hip-hop culture.
Mm. I like the sound of, well, as you said, I think you could broaden it out a bit. I like the sound of the Icons range. Have you thought of doing a cushion with the face of Stefan Dennis on, for example?
I mean, that would be a big look.
Wouldn't make you feel, what's the line?
Did it make you feel good?
Yes, you could have that as a print.
Yeah.
I really remember that record, though.
Do you?
Yeah, of course. I know all those, like, all the Stock Aitken and Waterman greats, yeah.
Oh, my God, awesome.
Because Helen, one of Helen's favourite anecdotes is that she shares a birthday with Stefan Dennis. It's quite a big thing for her.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I know, I like to tell everybody.
It's one of her favourite stories, yeah. Well, there we go. So where can people find Hip Hop? Is it at Hip Hop Homes?
At Hip Hop Homes London on Instagram, and my website is Beatnik TV, but everything else is at DJ Nikki Beatnik. And then there's Moms at Rave. Obviously, I've got Mixcloud with about 100 mixes up there that you can go and stream all my mixes and radio shows. I've just done one with Estelle for Apple Music. I just did a Kiss Fresh mix yesterday, so there's loads of new stuff on there all the time.
And my favourite mix that you did was, you did one for us. You did a Scummy the Rave mix.
Yes.
That we play. If you've ever been to one of our shows in the last sort of, probably about a year ago you did it, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
But if you've been to one of our shows, the music that you hear playing at the start of the show before it starts when you're sitting down is Nikki's mix, and it's online, isn't it? So yeah.
It's on my mix class.
So I always know when we need to go on stage because I need you tonight.
In excess.
Which is excellent. So it's good. And what else are we going to say, Ellie? Oh, we're going to do Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Yes, let's do some confessions.
Well, because I didn't have confessions as such, because obviously I'm a perfect mother.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little true or false thing that I did instead.
Oh, let's do that.
Okay,
so they're going to be like things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
Throughout the year.
Oh, I love this.
This is good.
Oh, I'm into it. Right.
Actual content.
This is so exciting.
Okay, dinner. I once had dinner with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh,
that's true. Surely it's true.
Is that true?
It is true.
Yeah.
Where did you have dinner?
Cipriani's, I think.
Oh,
and,
nice.
I was with Khalees and Nas. We don't talk about him. and yeah, we all went for dinner with Jay-Z, Beyonce, and a few other people, private. They closed the restaurant off, that kind of jazz. And then we all went to a club after.
Wow. Awesome. Were they nice? Was it a nice dinner?
Yeah. I mean, the boys were sitting down one end smoking cigars, and then Beyonce was like very quiet. Like, I've DJed her parties before, and she's quite quiet in real life, or she seems like, you know, but this was quite a while ago. It was like 2005 or 6 or something. But yeah, she's very nice, very nice. Okay, I've been in the back of a limo with Tom Jones.
True, I know that's true. I've heard that story.
True.
Yes.
What? How? Tell me more. Did he get
no,
a bit of...
And you know what? I was so overwhelmed with the Tomness that I was just like, quiet. So my manager, he came to one of my party that I was DJing at. And it was him and Wyclef and a few other people. We were all hanging out afterwards. And then we said, let's go to China White. It's like you did back in the day.
Yeah.
And his manager and my manager at the time were like getting on really well. So they said, oh, you can come in our car.
Mm.
We would have been quicker to walk there.
Yeah.
But it was like in Soho day. So we just drove around in Tom's limo.
Oh.
And I was just like, because I love Tom Jones.
Yeah.
But back then, like, I was obviously more like hip hop DJing and stuff. But I was still like, this is Tom Jones. And he's just like alpha male dude. So I didn't really know what to say. So I just sat in the limo. And, like,
did you throw your knickers at him?
Yeah. No, but there'd been a lot of other chicks. Like, he had been... Wycliffe was there and he was getting no action.
No
whatsoever.
Knickers. No one throws a knickers at Wycliffe.
No. Because Tom, and Wycliffe was doing like handstands on the dance floor and his
friends. I'm here, yeah. Ladies. Yo.
And just all the chicks were just around Tom. He's just so hot. Okay, so I've had a stare out with David Blaine.
I want this to be true. I want it to be true.
Yes, you've definitely had a stare out with David Blaine.
I'm going to add another person to this.
Bit. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And Prince.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why people do this to me.
This is awesome.
You stared out David Blaine and Prince at the same time? Not or would that same, be difficult with only two eyes?
I don't know. I think they're. I think quite a lot of people are into NLP and they do it as a power thing.
Wow.
That's my... Because David Blaine definitely knows all that shenanigans.
Yeah.
Weird magician type.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, he came into this bar, was DJing. I'd finished DJing, so it wasn't even like I was behind the deck, so he's staring at me because I'm a girl, whatever. Like, you know, most times it'll happen. So I'm just stood there minding my own business. He literally comes up to me in the hole of the bar, stands opposite about 5 foot away, and just stares me out. Like, stares right in my eyes.
What?
Non-stop, not smiling, not saying anything, nothing, just staring for a lot longer than was comfortable. So
shit.
I thought, okay, I'm locked in.
You're going down, Blaine. Yeah. You're going down.
Yeah. Get back in your fucking plastic box.
I know, right? That was the best thing ever in London when people threw stuff at him in the plastic box.
Oh, and then they had like a drone with a McDonald's burger in it. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I remember so watching it.
Wait, how did the staring? How did the stare out end? How did it end? Who looked away? Who blinked?
I can't actually remember. I think he probably, but he moves really slowly. He kind of moves like a sloth.
Oh, does he?
So he moves really slow, and he's got big eyes, and he's just like very like.
Oh my god, he sounds
yeah. Definitely, it was definitely a power thing, I think. But I was like, what is going on here? Okay, this is happening. And then the second time, well, the time with Prince was like, I've been told by a lot of my friends, because my good friend was his DJ. He used to do it all the time to people, like, you know, like really look at you to see whether you kind of flinched or looked away or whatever. That was less of a staring competition, but I was also drunk quite a lot of Hennessy. I was DJing. My friend brought him in and she was going to sit him at the back, and then he kind of walked past the DJ booth and then he was just like, right, stare out time. And I was like, okay, I'm British and I've been drinking, I'm going to do it back.
Fuck you, Prince. Prince of what, exactly? Where's your fucking lineage?
Oh
fuck
my
off.
God.
Good for you.
But a lot of people I know have worked with Prince and he was absolute genius, amazing musician, but I know, like, obviously... He was just the all-powerful one, so he did used to, like, do, you know, he'd see what you're made of, basically.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm from London, I'm going to stare back at you, I've had a lot of Hennessy.
I'm made of fucking attitude, that's what I'm made of.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. All right, next.
Next one. I fell off stage spinning at a Grammy Week party in LA.
True. Yes.
100%. I had amazing orange Louboutin stilettos on, and they'd made one of those makeshift stages and little gaps in between.
Oh, no.
My heel went down and I fell completely off the
DJ stage. Were the shoes okay?
Oh.
The shoes were fine, yeah.
Okay,
I know,
great.
They were amazing. So. Yeah. But my ankle wasn't. Like, I kind of, not fractured it, but I did splint off the bone a bit. Soldiered the rest of the night. Just
of course you did.
Stick to slippers.
A couple of extra drinks. Okay, I've had drinks with Simon Le Bon.
Yes, please.
True.
100%.
And Yasmin?
No sign of Yasmin, but he was telling us about his cats with Yasmin and how he's having allergy treatment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
He's lovely.
Yeah.
I have DJed on the roof of a skyscraper in a harness.
See, I was like, yeah. And then you said in a harness. What the fuck? True.
True in London.
Wow.
In the city. And the last one, I have been to Kazakhstan.
Yes, you have. have.
Yes. Well, I think I'm the same being to Kazakhstan.
Wow. Oh my God. How? What's it like? I'd love to go there.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very mountainous, very beautiful. Yeah, Kazakhstan's amazing. Yeah, we did like a party for some billionaires, so it was just mental. But yeah, it's...
that's amazing. I mean, you said you... I like that as well, that you posited it as a true or false quiz. It's actually just a true quiz, which I very much enjoyed.
I should have put in a false, like a completely out there false one, but no,
I don't think you could invent anything that like would be more out there. Having fucking dinner with Jay-Z and Beyonce is quite up there. Perhaps if you said I've got a birthday with Stefan Dennis, I would have found that impossible to believe.
And then yes, I would have cried.
Oh well, there we go. I don't think we have time for any confession, but I don't think we need them, mate. I think we're golden.
All I was going to say for the Scummy Mummy confession is that I on the weekend went to a lovely cottage called yes. the Old Sussex Dairy.
Oh yeah.
And I went in the pool and I didn't wee in it.
You've changed. I don't know who you are anymore.
I just wanted to say that because Lucy was very nice and gave me the weekend for free. And I thought, as a gift to her, I wouldn't piss in her pool, which is a really nice.
That's really sweet.
I'm just a really good person.
That's really kind.
Yeah.
But it was your birthday, and yeah. we know for your birthday you like to treat yourself and wee in the bath. Did you keep up with that tradition this year?
No, because I was staying at Lucy's house.
So you didn't wee in the bath either.
No. I had a weed in the shower because that's nice. Yeah, that's standard, a lovely thing. It's a great thing. Are you okay, Nikki?
Nikki's not very well.
There was actually a debate on the TV about this the other day, and I was like, what kind of person wees in the shower?
It goes down the plug hole.
What kind of person, Nikki?
I'm with you. Like, I know. Weeing in the bath is a step too far for me because then you're sitting in your own urine. That's a step too far. But you wee in the shower, you just...
table out and some number twos, why not?
I don't know what kind of parties you've been to, Nikki, but anyway, a wee in the shower is a lovely thing. Anyway.
Oh, well, there we go. Well, thank you so much, Nikki, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You've been amazing.
And we have our shop.
Oh, yeah, we do have a shop. Yeah, you could help us out as well.
We sell
mugs and things and T-shirts. If you want to buy them, they're at Scummy Mummy's. Was it shop.com?
ScummyMummyShop.com. So slick.
So there we go.
Oh,
thanks again, Nikki. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
Do you want to open your Coke so we don't have it now? Just so we don't have that. Although it's...
I like how you're pretending this is some sort of fucking professional outfit. What the fuck? Yeah, we absolutely can't have any sort of wine glass noises or snorting, coughing, swearing.
Yeah, language.
Let's keep it professional, please, Nikki. What?
Where am I?
Who are you?
I don't know.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.